Welcome to Bookcasting. It's Ola Vea here, and today we're going to talk about Free Will by Sam Harris. And I'm going to read you a little quote from the start of the book, and then we're going to talk about one reason each for why you should read this book. And I am happy to announce that I have two guests today. It's our expert guest, Tom Erik Støver.
Hello.
Hello. And it's our biology expert guest, Colby Kahn.
Okay.
Yay. Okay, so
oh, yeah.
Today we're going to finish after 30 minutes. Yeah. Here is a quote from the start. Without free will, sinners and criminals would be nothing more than poorly calibrated clockwork, and any conception of justice that emphasized punishing them rather than deterring, rehabilitating, or merely containing them would appear utterly incongruous. For those of you who don't know how incongruous means, I applaud you. I don't give a shit. Okay? So, guys, who wants to go first about why people should read this book?
You?
No, thanks.
You know, I'll give it a try.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, I think it's a you should actually explain who Sam Harris is.
And I should, or
you yeah, should. You should have told us who Sam Harris is.
I don't know.
Sam Harris?
Sam Harris is a neuroscientist, and he's one of the main focused characters, persons, and a researcher on this field, and he's doing like quite well. And he's actually that much popular because of the book The Moral Landscape, which really changed. It didn't change. I wouldn't say change, but it did leave a mark in the States, in the way atheism, new atheism, was marked. Because he started off as with one of the four horsemen of the new atheism, with Dawkins and Dennett.
So he
Hitchens.
One book.
Yeah,
so Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah,
so this and is Sam second, Harris is the second.
Yeah, and he happens to be one of those because we really did choose the book not because he's in one of those new ethics, but because this book has been leaving mark, and that is my main recommendation to why people should read this book, and why I chose you guys to choose to read as well, because I think this is a book that will be discussed very much, and because it brings up a topic which is actually been here since the start of the time.
Where will it be discussed?
I think it will be discussed everywhere, but it has already started in the academic levels.
And you think it will spread?
Sure. Yes. Most definitely.
Why?
I've been reading reviews of this book on the internet many times. Different pages, Norwegian places, typically think tank places where people are discussing this book, and I think the reason why it is so much discussed is bringing up this old theme of how much do we decide when we decide something to do something, and it backs up its logical termination in the sense that it says that we are predetermined. Determination is a part of us, and he says that I have now proof for it, and he backs it up with this lab test they've been doing, which is not 100%, but like with 60% margin, which is classified scientifically as not random, not chance. So he's backing it up now, and he's really turning up this discussion, and actually even daring to attack Dan Dennett, which is really one of those big minds who is discussing what mind is.
Who did the test? Somebody else.
I think...
was it him?
I'm not sure. I didn't get it, but I think he has done it as well.
I think he was part of a research group.
Yeah, but the test has been done other places as well as him.
Okay, good.
So it has been confirmed from different angles. So yeah, I think we should read this book because it brings up a topic that will be discussed everywhere, and it's a hot topic. And because he's bringing it up with on a scientific level, it is now not just a philosophical topic, mm-hmm. which is just be discussed in philosophical terms, mm. but also in a scientific and biological terms as well.
So what do you think?
Well, I completely agree that it's an important book because, I mean, the basic questions that he asks in this book, they are not new questions. They are recurring questions within philosophy, and they have been for hundreds of years, but the new thing here is that he brings it up in the context of neuroscience, which I think is quite new, that neuroscience is brought into bear on like very basic philosophical questions, which I think is very interesting. Another reason, which I think is a very good reason to just pick up this book, is that it's very, very short. It's only actually 60 pages.
Do you have it?
Yeah, I have it.
It's right here.
Bring it up.
Oh, let's see. It's very, very thin.
It's actually a booklet.
Flimsy? Would you say that? It's the pages are actually what you used to call pulp fiction in the old days, where you have just ripped.
Yeah, like the raw.
Yeah, it's ripped instead of cut.
Yeah.
And when you look at my own book that I have been writing these past weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thicker.
Yeah, my book is thicker.
You haven't actually written all the pages, have you?
No, but I have. I have not that many left.
So I think that it's a very important book in the sense that it's going to kick off a debate about an old philosophical question, but it's putting it in a new context within neuroscience, which is a very new field, and we're starting to learn stuff about the brain in a very different way from what we've been able to previously, and I really like that they're bringing important philosophical questions into that field. I'm a big fan of that, but I have to say that I think that Sam Harris is drawing some lines from the results of his experiments into an argument that I don't completely agree that he has, you know, the complete foundation that he needs to make the claims that he does. I think he jumps very fast to a conclusion that I think that with time we're going to see some more nuanced perspectives on this. But it might be that Sam Harris is doing this on purpose, just to, you know, kind of pull it to an extreme to kick off a debate about it.
And do you think that will work?
Yes.
It's already worked, though.
Why?
Why it will work?
Why do you think it will work?
Why I think that it will kick off a fruitful debate?
Yes.
Well, because I think the question of free will and our sense of the basic sense of agency that we feel that we're responsible for our own actions is kind of like the last frontier of, you know, humanity, kind of like in atheism, because, you know, like as we kind of progress towards accepting the universe as a, you know, being governed by laws of physics, we kind of still have that sense of kind of duality sense that we're kind of our persons, we're kind of separate from the physical world in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We still kind of preserve that feeling. And I think this is provocative in the way that it kind of forces you to reevaluate that feeling. And that's going to spark some provocation and a very interesting debate, I think, in the science community, and I think in the general population. It's going to be interesting to see if people at large are ready to kind of ask those questions, though.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Tomerik, it's why do you think that it is so extreme? Why do you think he's pushing it too much? What part of this book do you feel is too far-fetched?
Well, it's not so much that I don't believe in that there could be something about what he's saying. Like, it could be that that the free will is a complete illusion, that we all our actions are in fact, you know, a consequence of physical
genes
events
and,
well, yeah,
the milieu.
But I think that he is kind of drawing some his argument. So I have to talk about his experiment in order to say this. But so he basically his experiment is about measuring using something called fMRI to measure brain activity, the bloodstream in the brain, to predict something that you're going to do. Which in the case is like pressing a button with your left or right hands or something like that. And the experiment is that he could predict basically what you were going to do some 8 to 10 seconds before you actually did it.
With every candidate? Or
with
60%?
I think the result was such that he could say that it cannot be attributed to chance. So it was statistically significant to not be random.
Right. So it's not chance. It's not 50-50. It's 60.
Yeah. So there was something going on. So the results show that there was actually something going on. Like the measurements were actually telling them something about what was going to happen. But I think that he's he's reading into it something that I think is not necessarily there, which is the something that is still unknown, which is the actual decision making. And I think he's kind of saying that since I was able to predict what you were going to do, that would mean that I knew what you were going to do before you decided what to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
But there's no... he didn't really measure the decision point. He measured the action point. So the actual decision in your brain happened sometime between the measured activity and the actual action being performed.
Right.
So I think there's, I haven't read the actual research paper, so there might be something there that I missed from this book, which is kind of short, and he didn't, he couldn't go into detail about how the experiment was run and stuff like that. But it seems like there's something there that he is kind of, I think he's making that argument because he wants to to kind of pull it to the kind of it seems like the most extreme or the ultimate consequence of what that result could have told you, but it not necessarily is what it tells you. Could be something else going on.
Yeah, I don't believe that you've actually managed to ask my direct question, which was, why do you believe that it is provocative? But because what I think he's saying is that he's breaking down that barrier, which we almost all of us we think that there is my brain and there is myself, and he's saying there is no myself and my brain, is just your brain. And every time you think you are acting, it is actually your brain acting.
But I am my brain.
Yes, so you are your brain. And it's not like...
But I can still have... My brain has free will then.
He does grant... And the point is you have to understand the brain as an organ. It's just like your heart, right? You can... You're given your heart as by genetic predisposition. It is already known or coded in what kind of heart, how big heart you'll get, right? And it is also coded that if your heart is in good condition and a good environment, it will be healthy. So and you can also train your heart up, but it has its boundaries.
Yes.
So he's saying that yes, you have free will. You can push your. You have limits, but in the end, it is narrowed by the environment and the genes, and that is why, as an organ, your brain is limited.
But if
your brain is the one who's taking those actions, then your actions are limited by your brain because you are your brain, because our actions are our brain, then.
But I feel that he's pulling it even further to say that the feeling that you have of kind of when I, you know, pick up this bottle, I have, you know, the feeling that I chose it and I could have chosen not to pick it up. But since I actually made that decision to pick up the bottle, then that's kind of a result of me exercising my free will.
Right.
And I think Sam Harris argues that, well, that feeling that I have, that I chose to do that freely, is an illusion, and that it is actually just, you know, something that happened in my brain. And the concept of there being an I who made a decision freely to do that is just, you know, confusing the whole thing, and it's just something that happened, and your brain kind of, you know, ended up doing that because of that's what happened, as a, you know, there was a chain of events, physical events, of neurons, you know, firing off, and then that's what happened. And just I feel that's his argument, is that that free will is not really there, and that's just everything you do is just a result of something happening in your brain, and the I part is just an illusion that your brain makes up to kind of make you feel
exactly good and, about and it. That is not provocative now. Thought.
Let's take a little break now. So, what are you guys doing now? You're discussing this whole thing.
Yeah.
We agreed before. What were we not going to do?
Was to discuss.
Yes, no, we didn't actually. you are going to just hold your thought, okay?
Okay.
So, I'm just going to take a little quick summary thing here.
I have to say why this book is important as well.
Yes, good. So, what we have been doing now is basically talking about it's a debate that's coming,
right?
And you guys are basically in that debate now, debating the actual issue.
Well, we were kind of debating whether or what was Sam Harris's argument, what his main point was.
Well,
I wasn't really debating whether or not Sam Harris is right.
Good. But what we both, you both of you agree on, is that there will be a debate.
Most certainly.
And it's worth debating, this thing.
Oh, yes.
Yes, but you must not make it so... It's getting a little bit...
complicated.
Yes, basically. Yeah. And that's okay. But, yeah. So let's not get too tangled up here.
Yes.
Could you sum up, like, quickly, after he has summed up quickly, this, and then you... And then we go on.
All right. Okay? The point is, I think we have to discuss the implications of this book.
Yes.
I think if you read this book and if you believe in what is said, the implications are that you won't be able to hate. It knocks down the part of hating between people, which is if a person kills my child or rapes my wife, I cannot blame him morally. I cannot say that you are an evil person for doing it. I can say you're a sick person. Your brain is sick. You should be detentioned. You should be locked in. But the part which is saying I have to take a revenge because this guy is evil, this part, it knocks down that part. And if these are the implications, I think that might be the way to go. So that would be my summarized. This book should be read because it is a debate that is going to be debated. And it has implications which are good for the humankind.
Sum up what you said earlier.
What did I say earlier?
Why people should read the book.
Oh,
beautiful.
Right. Well, because I don't believe so much in the stuff that Colby said, but I do think that it's a very big...
But you love me.
I love you still.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think it's a big philosophical question, and I think philosophers have, you know, been wondering about this for hundreds of years, like what is this thing that we call free will? What is the feeling of self, and you know, the soul and all that is like? And I think the fact that some new types of sciences, like the neuroscience, which is driven by very interesting technological inventions, how that's brought into this. For these philosophical questions, I think that's going to be extremely interesting to see more of that, to see more experiments of this type, and to read the debate that is going to follow, which is about what can we learn about our sense of selves and our sense of agency and our sense of free will and our consciousness. How can we learn more about that through neuroscience, for example? That's my...
Good.
That's what I think it's
about. I agree.
I will now say why I think you should read this book. There is a new field within marketing, which is...
marketing?
Growing. It's called neuromarketing. And to just simplify it in a stupid way, it is you, instead of doing interviews and market research with surveys and questionnaires, you put people into this machine where you can see the blood flow in the brain, then you ask them the questions. And the findings are very interesting because it turns out that probably people... stuff is happening in their brain, but people think people say one thing and another thing is happening in the brain, basically. That's what it looks like in some of the research that is being done. So a lot of stuff is happening there, and
Are you referring to a special kind of book or?
I've read two books basically on this, but I've also it fits in with other science that's being done. So basically, it's the point is that
aren't you supposed to like name those books? Or are you just gonna throw out the facts?
No. this is about this book, and I'm saying so the difference between this book and these other books. Is this guy, he's got an agenda. And I don't think it really... So I don't care about the atheism thing, but he's got an agenda. He wants to bring a subject up, and he's very upfront. He's like, look at me. This is what I am trying to do. I have an agenda. Whereas these other neuromarketing dudes, they are marketing dudes. They have a hidden agenda, you know? And I know for a fact that some of them, they want to sell consulting. You know, that's why they put the book out there. But probably they have other things too. And all of you out there, there's going to be done research here, which is going to be transformed into something, put out into the media, and you're going to get it into your brain. So you got to prepare yourself by reading this to understand what's going to go on, because this is going to put colors to... this is going to decide maybe what car you buy in a couple of years, what kind of clothes you're going to wear, and, you know... Either you know what's going to happen or you're just going to be a slave.
Word.
I believe in free will, though.
And I have to
stop in 4 minutes.
I know.
And you're going to do the audible thing. So I'm thinking you just talk and then you go to audible and then we round it off.
Isn't this the audible?
What?
No.
What you just said.
I thought this was audible.
On No Agenda, I'm definitely going to talk about this.
Yes.
How long until you have technology that can kind of scan people's brains, like from a distance or when you go through security at the airport? Scan your brain and kind of whatever these guys figure out about predicting what you're going to do, are they going to use that to, let's say...
Sell shit, of course.
Sell shit?
Of course.
Screen people at the airport? Well, no, your brainwaves say that you're going to bomb this plane, so you're not...
Oh, you're thinking like the movie called Minority Report?
Maybe.
I haven't seen it, but...
That's kind of, you know, they could actually see what you're going to do, and that's why the police, like, jumped up before you did the...
Exactly. This is
criminal act.
Yeah, this is exactly like Minority Report.
Okay, guys.
I would say it's not like... It is not fictional. This is...
We will not have time to wrap this up. So if you are a little confused about what we've been talking about, you got to listen one more time.
Yes.
Okay. You close us off.
Yes, I will.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love.
Do you read this book on Audible? Listened to it on Audible?
No.
It's
not available in our part of the world on Audible.
This book is not available on Audible. I'm sorry.
In our part of the world.
In our part of the world. So if you're in the US, you can definitely go to Audible. And then you can go to audibletrial.com/bookcasting.
Yes.
And get the book for free if you're in the US. If you're somewhere else, if you're in Norway, you could get some other book. Do you have a suggestion?
Suggestion for what?
No, he can't do that.
You're closing.
Yeah.
Oh well. Okay, that's all I have to say about that. And it's time to...
Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook?
Facebook.com/bookcastingpodcast. Also our website, you will find it on bookcastingpodcast.com. We're on Twitter, at Bookcasting.
Did I just get tricked or something?
What was that?
Did I just get tricked? Are we putting this out on Facebook?
The Bookcasting...
No comment.
This podcast is on Facebook. You are on Facebook.
All right.
I don't know what you're trying to ask, but...
Cool.
Oh, you could go to Colby's blog.
Yes, yes. What's your blog?
It's all in Norwegian.
Takforilnora.com.
Yeah. Say again.
Takforilnora.com.
Yeah, it's an Ibsen thing, yeah.
Well...
For the Norwegian people.
for the Norwegian people.
And you can check me out at olavea.com.
olavea.com/em. Coming up, Steven Pinker. What's the book called?
The Better Angels.
Something about angels and violence. Oh, we have it here.
The Better Angels of Our Nature, a history of violence and humanity.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, see you later.
Rock and roll.